We are in the book of Galatians in chapter 5, and so open your Bibles to that, and while you're doing that, last week we talked about being free and how most Christians understand what they're freed from, the yoke of sin and slavery and all that, but not what they've been freed for, and that's important. And we talked about how we were called, we were invited by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to live freely in that freedom. And how we're freed from God's condemnation and wrath to live righteously. We're freed from slavery to sin and temptation, and freed for concern and giving to others. We're freed from the power of Satan and his demons. We're freed to do the God's will. We're freed from the curse of the law, and we were freed for reconciliation with God personally and to help reconcile others to him. We were freed from shame and fear and dread before God. And then we were freed for helping others to grow together in Christ. We were freed from the weight of legalism, and we were freed for transforming into the image of Jesus Christ. And we're not to use that freedom to indulge or as a home base for our sinful nature. Rather, we're to serve one another in love. And that's the main point of what everything of what God is trying to do. Our freedom has a purpose, and that is to love and to serve others in his name, glorifying and magnifying Jesus. That is your purpose in everything you do and everything you say, everything we say, everything that we do, our life, our finances, our time. That's the goal. That's the goal of it all. And we're not to be biting and devouring one another, or we'll be destroyed if that's if we operate in the flesh. But rather, we're going to clothe ourselves with Jesus Christ. And if we do that, we're not going to think about how to gratify our fleshly nature. And I sent out a little text for those in the church. But, you know, when we get up in the morning, when that alarm clock goes off and you hear that, I don't know if you have the phone or you have the annoying alarm clock that goes, ah, ah. But whatever you have, that little alarm clock, instead of, I don't know, that annoying noise, at least it is to me, that annoying noise that goes off, in a sense, we should hear that as a bell. You ever watch a boxing match? You know, that little bing, bing, that's what it is. And in the morning, instead of hearing that, rah, 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 we should hear in our minds, are you ready to rumble? Because if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, let me tell you, you're in a fight every single day. You're in a fight against the world that's all going one direction. You're in a fight against the enemy and demonic forces who are trying to cause you to stumble, fishing for you, tempting you to sin and dishonor the Lord. And then we have this sin nature in us, right? Our flesh that we're going to have till we die, that we have to battle. Right? So God tells us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a conscious effort, because if we give in to our flesh, we won't do it. But as you can see here, if I were to wear this, other than somebody saying, you know, I'd be the Gordon Fisherman or something like that. You know, if I were to wear this and pick up the umbrella over here, right? Before, you would be thinking I'm heading out into a storm, wouldn't you? Or I have no fashion sense. Right? One of the two. But when you got dressed this morning, you had to put, thank God for some of you. No, you had to put on clothes, didn't you? You had to put something on, right? In that same way, in a spiritual sense, we need to put on Jesus Christ. From the first grumbling, oh, I don't want to get up. You know what? Lord, let me start right here. Let me put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for giving me another day, Lord. Will you help me to encourage someone today? Will you help me to serve someone today? Will you help me to be a blessing to someone today? Help me to take time for my kids, my wife, my husband, my friends, my family. Help me to honor you at my work, Lord, because you know I want that extra buck and I want that extra. Help me not to compromise. Help me not to be self-righteous, Lord. Help me not to give in to gossiping or slander. Help me just to be a blessing, Lord. Help me not to take that extra drink, that drug, that whatever. Lord Jesus, I want to glorify you to everybody I meet. So when they see me, they'll know that I'm clothed with Christ, that I look differently, right? This outfit makes me look different. Okay, maybe this is a bad illustration because it makes you look dorky. But yes, but it makes me look different, doesn't it? I stand out. In that same way, when you put on the Lord Jesus Christ and you're thinking, And you make a conscious choice to do that throughout the day. Lord, help me, Lord, to glorify you. You are making him known to a dying world. And let's make no bones about it. That's exactly what they are. They're dying. If you haven't given your life over to Jesus Christ, you're a dead man walking already. You just don't know it. You're a slave to your sin. I know we don't like to think about that. Harsh terms, right? But that's what it is. Apart from Christ, we have no victory. But if we put on, if we have Jesus Christ, let me tell you, we're already fighting. We've already won. We fight from victory, not for victory. Does that make sense, everyone? So every day we put in the Lord Jesus Christ, and if we do that, we won't be thinking about how to gratify our fleshly nature, because we'll be thinking about how do I glorify him? And then it's not what can I get from you, it's how can I bless you? How can I encourage you? How can I help you? Because I'm doing it all for him. Does that make sense? And if we walk by the Spirit, Galatians 5:16 says, so like the Bible says, if we walk by the Spirit, we won't gratify the desires of our flesh, not the skin part, but our fleshly nature, right? That wants to do other people to serve us and do for us and be self-focused, right? Does that make sense? Great to see you. Listen, we talked about all the things about how to live and walk in freedom last week. There's an active side of walking with him, that we have to be moving forward. There's a passive side, being led by him. And we talked about in Galatians 5:17 and 18 is where we left off, that the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so you don't do what you want. So we have to make sure that we put on Jesus Christ and we're asking, Lord, fill me up daily, focus me daily, because we are vessels that leak. Our eyes are easily taken off of what we're supposed to be focusing on. Isn't it true? All of us. And listen, can I tell you what? When it talks about walking to the flesh and the Spirit, I want to make sure. Here's what the enemy always wants you to do. The enemy always wants you to think that you're the only one that's struggling with this issue. Just you. You got the bad attitude. You got the drug problem. You got the porn problem. You got the whatever. Whatever. You name it. Whatever it is. But the Bible says this, and hear me. No temptation has seized you except that which is common to man. That means we all struggle with the same thing. We can all struggle with greed or lust or slander or gossip or anger, right? So don't let the enemy separate you. And as we go into this next section, as we're going to be talking about the ways of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. And then the next time I get up here, we'll be talking about the life in the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. I don't want anybody to feel condemned, because we're going to go through, a lot of people just kind of read through the acts of the flesh and but I got to tell you, I made this slide because it's true. We live in an upside down world right now. People are calling good evil, evil good, right? I mean, this is maybe a silly example. Okay, so I'm a comic book guy. I'm a geeky. Whatever. Don't judge. Okay, so, all right, Superman. All right, okay, these used to be where superheroes were the good guys, right? Truth, justice, the American way, whatever, right? Now Superman's renounced. I'm just for a little example. Now Superman's renounced his citizenship and you know, just crazy stuff like this. Now the bad guys are the good guys, right? And we're celebrating them. Everything is reversed. And so I made this slide because we're living at a time where if you go along with the culture, you're going to be swept away. Because it's so strong. You have to know it's different. Isaiah 5:20 in the New King James Version says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." Yeah, I can be whatever gender I want. It doesn't, in fact, there, where does that even, God made a male and female. Oh, I can do whatever, I can be whatever. Well then, you know what? I want to be, what's the retirement age for full benefits? And I want to identify as that. I want to identify as a billionaire. And then you have to accept that I'm a billionaire. And so I get to buy whatever I want on credit because I'm a billionaire. Silly, right? You laugh, but This is what we're living upside down. Woe to those who put darkness for light or light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We're living upside down. But if you'll notice on my scripture picture, where's the light coming from? Right here. And what's she holding, in case you can't tell? A B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving Earth. Right? Live life upside down. The world is telling you that good things are bad and bad things are good and it's okay. Don't worry about it, right? Everybody accepts it. But should you, what does the Bible say? It doesn't even matter what I say or what you think. What really matters is what God says in his word. Amen? Yes. Oh, you already have a question. All right, I love it. We do. That's okay. We do a lot of questions in here, and you're good. And so, here you go. All right, you can make a statement.
Sorry. So I was watching a sermon, and he was talking about how today, especially like my generation, they're putting they're very spiritual, and they're putting everything into the universe. And he was basically pulling up all these scientific reports saying that you guys are pouring everything into the universe, but it's a dying universe. The world is the worst it has ever been. Like, we're very polluted. We're dying. The world is not that good. So how are you supposed to manifest the world and put positive energy into the world and whatever the heck it is, but it's dying? How is the world going to give you satisfaction when it's not even satisfied itself, you know?
Yeah. Well, let me tell you exactly how we can do that. It's through the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's what I'm saying.
That's exactly it. That's how you bring life to dying people and to a dying world. Lest we ever forget that. It's all about Jesus. All about him. Listen. I'm going to read the verses. And I know we're going to get through a whole two verses today. Woo-woo! And actually, we're not having communion. I put that off till next week. But I do want to say one quick thing, and I'm skipping back. Please forgive me. But share Jesus without fear. If anybody wants to take that class that's coming up, encourage you to sign up for that class and or to text me, and we'll get you signed up for that. What did I say that was? Okay, all right. So opposite men's group, right? Is that what? Okay, yeah. So we'll be doing, it'll be a 5-week course. Learn how to share your faith, your friends, whether you want to hear it or not, your family members, they're dying, and learn how to be able to share it, not in a jerky way or in a prideful way, but just in a loving way, in a casual. If they want to receive it, great. If they don't, that's their choice. But we have to be faithful to present it. So I'm encouraging you to come out to that. And also, Watchman, man, he's coming. I think he's flying in from Cali. I had him do a teaching at another church years ago, him and his wife. They're wonderful people. They're going to be staying with, I'm going to have them stay with Peggy and Lester. It's so wonderful that they're putting them up. Man, they've been doing cult, they're a cult watch group, and they've been around for a long time, and this is a special thing that he's coming out to our church. We're not a big, he speaks at mega churches all the time, but because I know him and he's done it before, he's coming out to our little church, and he's going to bless us. And I don't know what I'm going to have him speak on. He did the best teaching on Mormonism I ever heard in my entire life. From Mormonism to Christianity, they were a fourth generation Mormon. And so he speaks fantastically about different cults and how to, the difference between a cult and Christianity. Anyway, so I just want to encourage you to come out to that. Okay, so we are in the book of Galatians in chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 19. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 and through 21. And then we'll hopefully get through these three verses. I said two, but it's three. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. Because he's telling us we're supposed to be walking by the Spirit, living by the Spirit, not by the flesh. It says this. Verse 19, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. He says, I warn you, listen to this, as I did before, that those who live like this will what? Not inherit the kingdom of God. That's a heavy statement, isn't it? So if you want to live according to your fleshly nature and you want to reject Jesus Christ, that's your choice. But you have to know that that leads you to a place for eternity where you don't ever want to see anyone go, even your worst enemy, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth and worm never dies. It's a terrible place. And so God wants us to be walking in freedom by the Spirit. And so I want you to live by the Spirit. And that means just filled with him. And if you do that, you're not going to gratify those sinful natures. And he goes in, what did I do with my little clicker now? My little ADD, here we go. All right, so we're going to go through the fruit of the Spirit next time I get up here, and we're going to go through the works of the flesh. And here's the funny thing. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. Now, the works of the flesh, the stuff that our sinful nature likes and stuff, can I tell you something? It's upside down spiritually than it is in the world. Hear what I'm saying. The works of the flesh that I'm going to go over, it's accepted by the world. Not only accepted, it's glorified. In fact, if you do those things, you're going to be liked more. You're going to be accepted more. You're going to get more prop because you're doing it for you. It's all focused on yourself. I'm telling you, that's how the world sees it. However, spiritually speaking, living to the flesh, according to what we just read in these verses in Galatians, what is it going to lead to? Death. It's the opposite spiritually. Now, when we get to the things of the Spirit, right? Does the Spirit celebrate? I mean, does the world celebrate as a general rule self-control? Kindness?
What?
No, it's all love, joy. No. Faithfulness? Are you kidding? Faithful? You want me to go to Bible church? You want to get me to give up my time? Listen to teach devotionals. We have time for this stuff, am I right? Listen, the works of the flesh we're going to go over first, but it brings death. And we're living in such an upside down world that I feel like I used to just read these and figure everybody gets it. But can I tell you what? Everybody doesn't get it now. So the Holy Spirit brings clarity, puts it in the Word of God to bring clarity to us so that you understand, I understand, we understand what God means so that everybody's clear. And when we're clear, we don't mean this to be condemning to anybody. So if the Lord is working at your heart, then just let him. Listen, if there's condemnation and you're feeling like I'm such a loser, oh my goodness, that's me. That's from the enemy. But if the Lord's convicting you, saying, hey, you need to get rid of that in your life, just let it. He's doing it because he wants to do greater work in you and a greater work through you. Does that make sense? Allow it to happen. It's okay. He loves you. Let him convict you. And then let him make that change so that you can be the blessing that he's called you to be. And he has called you to be a blessing. Believe it. Can you pass that microphone up? Do you mind? Thank you so much. And yes, go ahead there now. You're okay. You might have to turn it on. Thank you so much. I'll get a drink of water while you're...
There goes. You know, we say it does lead to death, but we forget there's dryness before the death. Ooh. And we don't look at the whole picture. We look at, oh, well, this is happening or that's happening. And we make excuses that ultimately it's leading to death. But what is all that in between beforehand? And we lose that. And we think, oh, that's not killing us. We're not dying. And we just have this and we just have that. And it's because of, you know, we want to blame the enemy and not at ourselves. Uh-huh. But you got to look at the whole picture. And ultimately it leads to death.
Yes, that's exactly right.
So there's
right.
a lot of dryness before that.
You know what? And that's a great point. And that's a good illustration for the picture. Yeah, I'm going to remember that for next time. But that is true, isn't it? The Bible says sin is pleasurable for a season. So you're going to get that immediate stim, and then it's like when you come down off that high. Oh, man, you feel worse than when you started. You feel drier. You feel whatever. but here are the works of, they're kind of broken up into different parts. And again, I'm not trying to make everybody hate me by sharing these things, because that usually what happens is after I share these things, somebody gets ticked off and they leave the church. We love you. The Lord loves you. But I just have to let you know, it's in the Bible. Here we go. The first grouping that we're going to go over is sexual sins. Woo-woo! That's going to be fun. Like a stick in the eye. And we're going to talk about adultery, sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. What that is, the works of the flesh. The second grouping in what we just read are kind of religious sins, where we talk about idolatry or and witchcraft or sorcery, some of your Bibles would say. The third part is social sins or people sins, and that's sins against others. It's hatred and discord and jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, and even murder. And then lastly, personal sins and drunkenness and orgies and such. There's approximately 17. This isn't a list that's complete, you understand. There's more. This is just the main things he's trying to get across. And they bring about death in your relationships, death in your relationships. Lord, dryness, it's not a good place to be. Or, in a spiritual sense, you could bring life. And the fruit of the Spirit, which we'll talk about next time I get up here, is going to be love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the things that, in the spiritual sense, will bring life to you and your relationship with the Lord, and it's going to bring life to others. When you have fruit on the tree, let me tell you what, other people can come and say, wow, look at that. I can see that love. I want a bite of that. Look at that. Look at that faithfulness. They're going to see it. They're going to taste and see that the Lord is good through you as you're putting on the Lord Jesus Christ and walking in step with the Spirit. Does that make sense, everybody? But you have to choose to do that. Listen, here we go. You ready? You're like, I brought a guest today. Oh, buckle up. Okay. All right, so the first thing we got. Now, some of your translations will say adultery. Some won't, okay? And the reason for that is because the next one is a manuscript issue. Some manuscripts have it, some don't. However, the next one, which we'll talk about in a minute, is sexual immorality. That includes adultery. And so I just put it up here because it's there. So, and Jesus speaks about other places. So that just means, just to make sure everybody knows, regardless of what TV says or movies say, adultery isn't okay. Open marriage, not okay. It means violating God's marriage covenant and having sexual relations outside of that marriage relationship. Right? Does that make sense, everybody? As a married person, you're not allowed to have sex with someone else's husband or wife or yes, you get the idea, right? Now listen, I always go into a lot of detail. I've tried to keep this just to one or two scriptures just for time's sake because there were so many. And so I'll just give you one in, or two, one in Proverbs, and I like to get some fresh things that I haven't said before. So Proverbs 6:32 says, a man, or this would include a woman, person, who commits adultery, this is brutal, isn't it? Has no sense. Whoever does so destroys himself. If you notice in that scripture picture, that home is destroyed. You want to see something destroy a home, destroy a family, destroy children, destroy lives? I know people years and years and years and years, years later, that kids that have grown up, and they still, this is their main struggle. It destroys. Oh, it's just an indiscretion. It's just a lie. Baloney. It's a lie, and don't you believe it. And I don't care who tells you what it's okay to do and what it's okay. This is what God says. You don't have any sense, and you're going to destroy yourself and those around you. That's the truth. Well, Pastor, I don't commit adultery. I'm a good Christian. Well, good. But the Bible says that Jesus says something very special that I think we need to listen to because he's concerned about our heart issues, right? Well, I didn't do the physical act. but the Bible says, Jesus said, I tell you that anyone who's looking at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Well, it's quiet, isn't it? And just to make sure we understand, that would be a man, a person, right? You understand, right? It goes both ways. It's not just an attack, for men, And what you look at on your phone or on your computer, Jesus says it's pretty important what you look at or what you don't look at. Bible says, I've made a covenant before my eyes. And listen, again, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But if there's conviction, let him convict you. Because this will drag you down. And like any sin, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger as it rolls down the hill. Does that make sense? Cut it off completely. He says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. He's not saying we should maim ourselves. He's using hyperbole. He says, cut it off. And then he says, throw it away. Because he knows us. He's like, oh, I'm just going to set that sin right here beside me and not look at it. I'm just going to look at it tomorrow. Cut it off, throw it away. Make sense? And listen, I want to say something too. Because I've watched Jesus rescue many marriages. Many marriages. So I know, and I want you to know, that if you're struggling, or if God has something has happened, God can do exceedingly, abundantly more than you could ever ask for or imagine. He can rescue anyone from pornography. He can save any marriage. You have to give it all over to him. God can do whatever. So be encouraged, but you have to give it up to him. Listen, the next thing it goes into is sexual immorality, or some of your translations will say fornication. And the Greek word is porneia, where we get our word pornography from. And that basically, because I think he knows us, it includes adultery, but it speaks of sexual immorality in a broader sense. So I would say the most literally, it's sexual relations between single people or unmarried people. Okay? Hey, we're just kind of trying things out, Pastor. We got to make sure we're compatible. What if we're not compatible? Are you trying to tell me the Lord doesn't want to find out if we're compatible before we get married? Sexually, I mean. Yes, that's what I'm telling you. Yeah, the Lord wants you to be pure. That's his desire. That's his goal. Purity for you. Now, if you're struggling, if you're messed up, the neat thing, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But man, that's not what, I'm just telling you, it's in here, this is what it means. Listen, the Bible says the marriage bed should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. Well, if you're sleeping around before you get married, is that going to be someone else's, possibly someone else's husband or wife someday? Oh, I didn't think about it that way. Yeah, it is. Listen, and just so you know, there's forgiveness, but God does say he will judge the adulterer. That's a promise. I've never seen that on a bumper sticker. I know the plans I have for you. Prosper me. God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral. You want to live that way? God says, he doesn't say there's no forgiveness. I'm going to bring some whoop butt on you. He disciplines those he loves and everyone he entreats as a son because he loves you, because that's getting in the way of your relationship with him. And that's almost making a laughing stock to others. See, they're just like the world. You see, if Jesus is so powerful, well, one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. Oh, Pastor, you just don't understand. I'm a girl. I'm a guy. I'm a this. I came from here. Yes, what you don't understand is we have a God that has come to save us, not in our sins, but from our sins. He is bigger than all that. And don't tell me you can't, because you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Not saying it's easy. Not saying you're not going to have to wrestle, but you can do it. Does that make sense? In fact, here's what the Bible says. If you really want to know, sometimes doing the right things just isn't cool. You know, I think about Joseph, right? Here's a righteous dude. Not Joseph here, but Joseph in the Bible. He was a pretty righteous dude, wasn't he? Some bad things kind of happened to him, right? But he still, so he was sold into slavery. He's serving at this Potiphar's house in Egypt, and he's doing the right thing, honoring the Lord, right? And Potiphar's wife's like, "Hey, Joe." "Oh yeah. Why don't you help me out here? I need some things moved in the bedroom." And then pretty soon she's like, "Hey, Joe, why don't you just sleep with me?" And Joe's like, I can't do that, man. You're married. I can't. And then he's like, "Why do it anyway?" And he's like, I can't dishonor the Lord my God. And so she grabs him. She's like, "Sleep with me." That's a little bit of desperation right there. And so he wiggles out of his, you know, robe or whatever he was wearing and the jacket, and he's out of there, right? Now, can I tell you something? Joseph didn't look so cool, right? Sometimes you just got to walk away. Sometimes right in the middle, "Lord, help me right now. Shut off the computer, turn off the phone, whatever it is for you." You know what I'm saying? Stop. "Lord, help me to honor you. Fill me with your spirit right now. Focus my eyes." And we're all susceptible to it, right? But he says to flee from sexual immorality. And I like this little picture because, you know, there's a mountain of evil coming your way, right? Never before have we been able to get, anything you want on a phone, on a computer, in your house all the time, 24/7. Not to mention TV, cable, all that type of stuff. Where is he running? Up the hill. It's going to be a fight, but he's running to, and the Lord will empower him to do so. It says in 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee from sexual immorality. It doesn't say meander, or just run away, get out of there. All other sins a person commits outside of the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Listen, you're a temple of the Holy Spirit, God says. He placed his Holy Spirit in you, so his eyes are, your eyes are actually his eyes. What you see, what you do, your body. Do you know what I'm saying? He wants you to honor him with the body that he's given you. Does that make sense? And now if that weren't enough, he goes on to say impurity. Or some of your translations will say uncleanness. That's the opposite of purity. It's kind of a broad Greek word, but it translates into everything else but, all right? It means sexual sins that don't qualify as intercourse. It means living lustfully. So, sometimes, "Pastor, we're not technically having sex." Technically. Come on, dude. You know what I'm saying? If I don't need to get graphic. We've got kids. But you get what I'm saying, right? If you're involved sexually, that doesn't honor the Lord. Listen, if you're married, he's got a gift for you. Let me tell you, go for it. Have at it. Yeehaw! Look, he could have made sex like eating shredded wheat or something. You know? He didn't. It's enjoyable. Listen, it's not like fishing. It's designed that for you to like it. It's not like, am I going to like it? Am I going to go fishing? Do I like that? He's made it in the confines of marriage. All right. So when it talks about sexual immorality or this impurity, it says this. This is what God says, because this is totally countercultural. Okay. So I get it. Making zero friends here today. Zero friends. We're the unpopular. We're like the 7-Up of churches. You know, the uncola, the unpop. But it says it. Somebody's got to teach it. It says, but among you Christians, he's writing Christians, there, what does it say? Should not, would be a good idea if there wasn't, must not even be even a hint of sexual immorality. Ooh, I think it's getting time to go. Or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people, God's people who are set apart. Capiche? Debauchery. Okay, what is that? The Greek word is asalgia, and you say, oh, who cares? Okay, well, I'm telling you why. This, it just means it's where this all leads, okay? And sexual sin, you let it go, it just gets worse and worse and worse. It's like an insatiable thing. And it will just get worse and worse if you don't put a stop to it in the name of Jesus. And this means uninhibited lewdness. It means just complete, no shame, no restraint, in your face sensuality. You know what? We're just going to have a parade and we're going to flaunt ourselves. Well, yeah, or we're going to flaunt it, right? And by the way, these sexual sins, I just want to make sure, I hate to even say it, but just to make sure and have everybody hate me, this includes, you know, homosexuality, lesbianism, bisexuality, transgender, you get the idea. You know, it covers everything. And so you're going to find that as it you're going to have a pride, and you can, yeah, we're this way, and you can all, woo, you know? I'm sure we don't see that today. Or do we? This lewdness, this pride. Lord, I want to say something that would be really good and funny, but the Lord is telling me not to say that. Okay. Just let it go, because otherwise I'm thinking, still thinking of ways. Well, can I say it like this? Okay. Exercise that self-control right there. Romans 13:13, the New King James Version says, let us walk properly as in the day. Hey, we're children of the light, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in, and there's the same word, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. That's the way we used to be. We're trying to put all that stuff off like a dirty garment, right? I want you to walk new, fresh. And then he goes into some of the religious sins. And he says idolatry. Now, back in those days, right, they used to worship, like, for example, the god Bacchus, right? And anybody, he was like the god of, like, I don't know how to say it. Getting wasted. Yeah. Drink, getting wasted, right? Let's worship him. Woo-woo! Let's serve the god of Venus or Aphrodite. She's the god of, well, I was going to say love, but it really wasn't. It was lust, right? So we can have at it. Woo-woo! So they would worship these. But you know what? Or maybe Baal, right? They would sacrifice their children in the fire so that they could be more prosperous. But. And you think, oh my goodness, how could they do that? Well, you know what? Some of us sacrifice our kids so you can work more and make more money. Some of us are still just thinking getting drunk is, getting stoned, getting is okay. Right? Some of us think, you see what I'm saying? We're not bowing down to the, some of us think some of these lustful things are okay, right? Though we might not be bowing down to a statue, we're still bowing down in our hearts. Does that make sense, everybody? Listen, in 1 John, we went through that a book or two ago, the whole book of 1 John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. You can find it online at our YouTube channel. But it says, dear children, keep yourselves from idols. And that idol, again, is just anything. It's the worship of any other god except the Lord God. Anything that takes first place over the Lord. Listen, do you know what? You can make your hobbies the god. You can make your job the god. Well, I have to work on Sunday. I mean, well, aren't you supposed to be going to church getting fed or filled? Or, well, I gotta. Some people can make their husbands or wives or their idol. I remember this distinctly. I have this wonderful friend. He became a friend. He worked for me. I had a computer company many years ago, a networking firm. And don't say his name. Okay. And anyway, he was an atheist. And as we talked together and shared together, he slowly became an agnostic. And then God started doing all this miraculous stuff in his life. He's a very logical thinker like I am, and stuff just started happening. God was speaking to him. He's like, finally, he took me aside in a parking lot. He says, I don't know what is going on, but he listed all this stuff. This stuff is not coincidence. This is happening too fast, too much, this is bizarre to me. And I said, well, you know what, to be honest, it's really not that bizarre to me because that's how I'm used to the Lord working. It's new for you. He goes, I realize this is God. I can't even deny it anymore. I said, that's right. He's calling you, isn't he? He said, I know it. I know he is. And I said, bro, why don't you just take that step and just receive him? And this was the most heartbreaking thing he ever said to me. He said, I can't. I said, dude, what do you mean you can't? He's like, I'm getting married. And my wife is the same way as I am. She was an atheist too. And if I do that, we'll split up. I know it. I know where she's at. And I said, bro, trust me, you have to make the decision first and lead your family as the man. You have to do the right thing. Even if I know God's calling me. I know he is. I just can't. I can't do it. And after much debate, that's what he kind of decided. Crushing. He wouldn't receive the gift of salvation and eternal life and a relationship with God. Because of his relationship, he wasn't willing to sacrifice. That's an idol. No, he wasn't. You know, he doesn't bow down. But that's what's happening, isn't it? You get the idea? We can make anything an idol. Yes. Hey, Natalie, would you pass that microphone back that way? I know, but the people on the film, then they get mad at us, and they online watch it a little bit later. You might have to turn it on, but. Yeah, thank you, buddy.
So Unholy Wood is promoting another series of American Idol that falls into the idolatry, if you will.
Yeah, you know what? Some sports events. Hey, why aren't we here Sunday? Oh, we got to watch a football game. It's at the wrong time. Why don't we? Yeah, Hollywood Idol, right? We just don't even. Unholywood, I like that, by the way. Keep yourself from idols. Sorcery, witchcraft, and that's the use of occult or demonic supernatural powers and knowledge apart from God. That includes fortune telling, telling the future, summoning evil spirits, speaking to the dead, casting spells, drugs, potions, things like that. And just so you know, this is not what we're talking about. So everybody's clear. Okay, we're not talking about sleight of hands, tricks, right? When you see a magic show and he's like, okay, put one, and you know, it's a trick they've learned. Or you get in this thing and it spins around. It's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is actual demonic stuff. I know witches. I just talked to a former witch about a week ago. She's a friend. She was in a coven here in Florida. If anybody wants a great book, if you want to know Irene Parks, she was the head of the coven here in Florida. She wrote a book called The Witch That Switched. And she was in charge, and she was a wicked woman. You have to be like an adult to read it, because she'll say some kind of wicked things. But I'm telling you, all the way back in Moses' day, when God was doing miracles, you remember it says, you know, he threw down the staff, and Pharaoh's magicians threw down theirs, and it says that God's staff went and ate the other ones up. When they were doing miracles, right, and God was bringing judgments upon them, it says that the magicians in Egypt did the same with their magic arts till about the third or fourth one, and then they said, we can't imitate this.
If y'all can say a short prayer that I can say, Daryl just called my daughter, and he's on the floor.
Okay.
And I don't know if he's hurting or not.
Okay. All right, we'll do that, buddy. Let's stop and pray for Daryl right now. Lord, we just pray for Daryl first, Lord, spiritually, that you would just heal his heart. Lord God, and everything, his mind, his soul, his spirit, Lord God, heal him, Lord God, completely. And then we ask that you would be with him physically, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, and get him right where he's at, Lord God, and take care of him, Lord. Bring him back to you in every way. We ask this together in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless Betty, too. Let her get home safe. So this is real, guys. I just want you to know. If you ever read the book, the Bible, here, I just wrote down a few. If anybody wants this, text me, and I'll send it to you. There's more. But you see it all the way from Exodus, all the way through Acts, through Revelation, in the book of Ephesus. When people got saved, they brought all their magic books and all their incantations. They burned it. It says they burned it all. They got rid of it all. It's not a light thing. It's not just, oh, cute. It's wicked stuff. We don't have time to get into it all, but I did it with the youth. We did get into every one of these. But anyway, it's bad stuff. It's straight from the pit. It's demonic in nature, not godly. And by the way, that Greek word for sorcery or witchcraft, just so you know, this not everybody hates me by now. The word is pharmakia, and it means one who prepares or uses drugs. It's actually where we get our word pharmacy from. Now, in context, that doesn't mean if I take a Tylenol or an antibiotic, I'm using witchcraft. But I will tell you that in context, back in that day, the taking of drugs, especially mind-altering or hallucinogenic drugs, which is what most drugs, like what we're thinking of, do, okay, it was always associated with the occult. All those witches, all those sorceresses, all those fortune tellers, they would always use some sort of hallucinogenic drug, right? Right? And that opens up some things in the spirit that you don't want to be opened up to. Oh, I didn't know that. So you're telling me pharmakia is the word for witchcraft? That's exactly what I'm telling you. Oh, but Pastor, the mind-altering drug that I'm using is natural. It's natural, Pastor. It's okay, it's natural. Well, can I tell you what? Lead is natural. But if I take my Glock and inject it in you, you're not going to like it. Uranium is natural. If you take that in you, it's going to poison you. It's natural, Pastor. If it's altering your mind, you're opening up doors in a spiritual realm you don't know about. And that's going to get you stuck and chained down and stuff you don't want. Oh, but Pastor, that's a poppy. That stuff, that's the milk inside, what's it called? Latex, I think, inside, right? It's natural, right? Oh, it's an opioid. That's what they, and folks, just so you know, the opiates, that's opium, that's morphine, that's heroin, that's codeine. Oh, by the way, opioids too, made from that, when they mix the stuff together, Vicodin, Percocet, oxycodone, fentanyl, you get the idea? Stay away. Not only are you opening up things physically for addiction, you're opening up things in the demonic realm that you had no idea. Don't be foolish. Yes, you have something to say?
These are illicit drugs in terms of coffee, nicotine?
Yeah.
Things that are?
Well, you know what? Technically, they don't... Yeah, I knew somebody was going to ask me that. yeah, technically, they don't qualify in that same... Yeah, yes, in that same realm of what they were using. Like when they would do demonic spells or they mix potions or drugs together or plants together, it was always had that sort of hallucinogenic, that mind altering. So, yeah. So, although caffeine gives you a little zing zao, anyway, it's not the same thing. But it goes on to say hatred, and that's enmity, that's antagonistic. These are all deeds of the flesh. Hating anybody is not bringing out the spirit. Listen, you might not like our president. I can understand that. He's going in a direction that against many of my Christian beliefs. You know what? I don't hate the man. I don't like what he's doing. But I'm a Christian. And so you know what God calls me to do? Pray for him. I want to see him saved. Do you know what? I want to see. I got a text. Putin, he's pure evil what he's doing. And let me tell you, I think it is evil what he's doing. You know what? I would love to see Putin saved too. The Russians are all terrible. I'd like to see Russians saved. Don't get me wrong. I'm not for what they're doing. Everybody understands this, right? But listen, all of us, we all need Jesus Christ. Every single one. Republicans? Yes, Democrats? Yes, even the independents? All of us. We love and pray. Does that make sense? Listen, I just hate white people, Pastor, because, you know, they're oppressors, and I just hate black people. I just hate Asian people. I just hate rich people. I just hate poor people. I hate short people, tall people. Yeah. Whatever kind of people. Listen, that's not for you, Christian. He's given you a new heart, right? Walk by the Spirit. You might have been raised a different way. You might have different backgrounds. But God is putting a new heart in, and he's a new creation in you. And he wants you to walk and talk in a different way, in a way that lets his Spirit flow. It's the opposite, right? God's Spirit is love. Fleshly spirit is that antagonistic hatred. That's a deeds of the flesh. The Bible says this. It uses the same word, enmity, when it's talking about you adulterous people. Don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God, hatred? And by the way, that doesn't mean God hates you. That means your friendship with the world, you're choosing to go the world's direction, you're hating God. You're setting yourself up against him. Does that make sense? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Good fruit, bad fruit. I want to be in the good fruit pile. In fact, but you don't understand my enemies, Lord. Jesus, you've heard it say to hate your enemies, but Jesus said, but I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and unjust. Well, and the Bible says in 1 John, if you were with us for that series, whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother is a
liar.
Liar, pants on fire. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. But Gary, how long have I been seeing Pastor Gary? How long?
57 minutes.
Oh. Really quickly. Here we go. And we're off. Just a couple more. Discord. That means contentiousness, quarrelsomeness, strife born from ambition, desire for prestige, place, promise. Oh, I've seen so much of this in ministry. Gag. You know what I love? We don't have a lot of things that a lot of other things folks do. But can I tell you something? We don't have that here. Listen, we want to help each other, bless each other, encourage each other. Behind the scenes, generally speaking, it's not like that. Everybody's jockeying for their own positions. Terrible. You don't want to be the quarrelsome. That's a deed of the flesh. You're just fighting everybody. You're contentious all the time. I'm afraid to talk to this guy because he's going to... Listen, the Bible says, avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels, same word, about the law because they're unprofitable and useless. It's a deed of the flesh. You're always wanting to fight. 2 Timothy 2:24 says, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, and not resentful. Jealousy, that's the boiling over. It's zelos, where we get our word zealous. It could be either bad or good, but in this context, it means a boiling over of emotion. And bad motives result in envy and indignance, jealousy, rivalry. In Hebrew, the Hebrew equivalent says, is in Proverbs 27:4, where it says, anger is cruel and wrath is like a flood, but jealousy is even more dangerous. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, James 3:16 says, there you'll find disorder in every evil practice. It's not a fruit of the Spirit. Fits of rage or wrath, the Greek word is thumos. It means like exploding anger, fierceness, or even wrath. And then it subsides again. I'm going to skip that just for speed's sake. And it says, this is the same word. When God is using us, we're to be angry and sin not, the Bible says. But that thumos is that explosive anger. Ah! I'm sorry, Pastor, I was just angry for a minute. That's thumos. He says, don't do that. Get that under control. He says, he will pour out his anger and his wrath, it's actually the same word, on those who live for themselves, who refuse to obey the truth and instead lives lives of wickedness. I don't want that. Selfish ambition, aretheia. That means focusing on self. There's folks that come into this church, can I tell you? And they're just all about me. They're not giving. Listen, they're not tithing. They're not seeing how they can serve. You definitely won't see them here this next weekend when we do the serve day. Right? They're not trying to figure out how. They're just, what can I get for me? Do you got a new book for me? Do you got a new Bible verse for me? You got a new me? God put you in this body, not just to get, but to give. Relationships, serve, share your gifts, bless, help out. Tons of areas. The Bible says in Philippians 2:3, we're to do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others more important than yourselves. Dissensions and factions I have it grouped together. Hostasia is dissensions. It just means standing apart, divisive, causing unity or division, disunity or division. God loves it when the brothers, Psalm 133 says, dwell in unity. Factions. That's hardened dissension, sex, the sects of the Pharisees and stuff like that. That's choosing self-centered, wrong, dividing over opinions. It's the same thing. And the Bible says in Romans 16:17, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and who put obstacles in your way that are contrary to teaching of what you've learned. The Bible says, I actually want you to keep away from them. And lastly, there's two more, but I don't have slides for them. Envy, it doesn't so want what someone else has, like jealousy. It's bitter because someone else has something we don't. I don't have a slide for that, but you get the idea. And then the next one is drunkenness. The Greek word is meth. Interesting. That means habitual intoxication. And for those of you who don't know, Luke 21:34 says, watch out. This is Jesus speaking. Don't let your hearts be dulled by carousing and drunkenness and by the worries of this life. Don't let that day catch you unaware. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled by the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians 5:18. So now that everybody is ready to stone me, I want you to know that this is simply what the Bible says. God loves you. He does not want you living that way. He doesn't glorify him or his son. It's not going to lead people to him. And that's the main deal. You have a purpose. You have a mission. You have a life. And you also have a choice. You can choose to honor him. Why don't we pray right now? Because we need help to do that. And let's just ask him together for help. To walk not by the flesh, but to walk by the Spirit. Amen? Father God, we just want to say thank you so much for your word that's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Lord. By the power of your Holy Spirit, will you fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit? Will you wash away, Lord, with the water of your word and by your Holy Spirit, Lord, all the stuff that's in our mind, these presuppositions we have, Lord, all the stuff that our sin, our flesh, wash it away. Give us strength. Give us power, Lord, to overcome, to be overcomers, Lord, and to be victorious over our sin, Lord. We're asking you to fill us with your Spirit, Lord God, and help us. We need you, Lord God. Lord, help us to cut it off, throw it away, and just seek you. Walk in the Spirit, Lord. Because we want to glorify you. We want nothing that's holding us back, Lord. I pray your blessing of victorious living, Lord God, by the power of your Spirit, on every single person here, on every single person who listens, Lord, online, Lord God, that you would teach us all, Lord, not to walk in the deeds of the flesh, even if the world says it's okay. In fact, it's celebrated. We would say no. Humbly, respectfully, but powerfully, no. In Jesus' name, we're going to be led and walk by the Spirit of God in a new way, in a fresh way, Lord. Bless us with that so we can glorify you. Help us, Lord. Help me, Lord, to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week, guys. God bless you guys in Jesus' name.